Everybody, it's Rick and Rob. Welcome back to the Nomad Pastor Podcast.
Man, glad everybody's here.
Absolutely. How are you doing this week?
Man, I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah. So we should, we're going to talk about a couple different things today, but it's Good Friday today that we're recording this.
I know, and it's great.
I mean, it's just great. Amazing.
And I hope everyone understands what Good Friday is all about.
Well, if you don't, maybe send us an email.
Out to us.
hello@nomadpastor.org, and we'll talk about it.
We'll talk about a bunch.
So look, the last couple podcasts that we did, I think it was two of them ago, we've been talking about the parables.
Right.
And I think it was a couple of them we said, you know, we talked about how, you know, Jesus being your Savior versus Jesus being your Lord are two different things.
Mm-hmm.
And that a lot of people are okay with saying Jesus is my Savior, but not my Lord.
But not my Lord, yeah.
And you said, hey, we should talk about that on a podcast sometime.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah, and then we got requests for it.
Yeah, we're so like, then
when are you guys going to do that?
Yeah, then there was a request. So
yeah,
we're going to do it today. We're going to push pause on the parables.
Right now for this one?
And we're just for this one episode,
right,
and then we're going
right
to talk about it.
Yeah.
So when you think about Jesus being your Lord and Savior, what is that? How do you feel about that? What do you think?
Okay, for me, Jesus being my Lord and Savior is Jesus being the one that has died on the cross, which we're
talking about
today.
That's today, right?
That's today, right? So Jesus being my Savior for my sins, but also being my Lord to direct me in my pathway in my life, to show me through the Holy Spirit the direction that I need to go in order to make sure that my salvation is sealed.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that when somebody says, you know, well, Jesus is my Savior, but I have a hard time calling him Lord, especially in like today's political climate.
Right.
You know,
right.
That's, you know, I'm not going to be a slave to anybody. Well, it's not. I'm a willing participant.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't count myself as, no, I'm, you know, you hear, and there's some, you know, clubs. There's a motorcycle club called the Bond Slaves.
Yeah.
You know, that's a Christian club that,
yeah,
you know, their thing is we are enslaved to the service of Christ.
Yeah.
And I get that. I totally get that. And I subscribe to that and agree to that.
You know what I think is interesting, you know, because I did a bunch of research because, you know, I knew we were going to talk about this.
Right.
And one of the things I found interesting, I was doing like, tell me what a Lord is.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so if you go back to, you know, ancient times, right, you
yeah
know, you had lords and kings. And I think a lot of people look at it and say, well, you know, the people were servants to the Lord,
mm-hmm,
right? But what they fail to think about is that Lord was accountable to make sure they had everything they needed.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
That Lord was accountable to make sure they had a roof.
Right.
That they had food. Mm-hmm. That they had land to plow. That mm-hmm they had horses or whatever
yeah
they needed.
General provisions, yeah.
The Lord right was responsible to take care of them.
Exactly.
They were under the Lord's care.
Right. And that's what gets people messed up is not understanding
yeah
that principle.
Yeah.
You know, of where, number one, where the origination of this came from.
That's
but
right
at the same time, not really grasping what that new life through the salvation and calling Jesus your Savior
yeah
brings to you.
Yeah, I got a couple notes that I want to read it.
Okay,
I'll read each one of them.
Uh huh.
And this is just different things that I have found, and I kind of reworded some of them, right?
Okay.
And then we'll talk about each one as we go through it.
I'm on.
Right. So this says, Jesus is Savior. So when you say Jesus is my Savior, it emphasizes sins forgiven.
Right.
But when you say Jesus is Lord, it emphasizes a reorientation in life,
mm-hmm,
which includes sins forgiven.
I like it.
Right? So I'm no longer the king of my domain. Jesus is.
Right.
That changes everything. So when mm-hmm you really think about that, Jesus is Lord and Jesus is Savior, one is like for me and one is for everything.
Right. Well, I don't know how deep you want to get into this first.
As deep
right
as
now
we can.
Okay, so let's go right now. So
yeah,
there's a lot of false doctrine out in the world today. One of those, without calling the name of this evangelist, likes to give everybody the impression that we're all little gods, little g gods. Not
yeah,
and so that they give the impression and they give the mindset and they back up with cherry picking scripture that the things that we do as masters of our own domain, that we are equivalent to God in a spiritual way, so that when we claim Jesus as our Lord and take ourselves off the throne of our own lives, we get to displace ourselves and put, you've heard people in recovery, and I've even said, you know, my higher power.
Right.
I don't have to be in recovery to claim Jesus as my higher power. But, you know, with taking myself off the pedestal of my own life, with taking myself off of the throne of my own life and being under that lordship like you talk about.
Yeah.
Being under that, you know, that care, that provision, that salvation at the same time removes me from the possibility of being my own God.
Yeah. You know, where do you think some of these evangelists get confused by that?
Where do I think they get confused about it? Or
how are they confused? Because, look, Psalms 82, right?
Yeah.
Says, God presides in the great assembly. He renders judgment among the gods.
Right.
Right? How long will you defend the unjust and show partiality to the wicked? You know, and it goes on. But he's saying, you know, he renders judgment amongst the gods. So what does that mean?
I don't know how to answer that question without making this a two-hour podcast.
I think scripture like that is where they cherry pick. That's
I do too, and right. And I think that's part of where that cherry pick initiates from.
Yes,
so that, you know, they get into that mindset. However, I believe that the TV or evangelist period that have that type of teaching, that type of false doctrine, have a mentality of trying to build quantity over quality.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the more people that they can bring in to their congregation or to their ministry because of, you know, a feel good message or, you know, a message that has a promise at the end of it,
right,
that is away from scripture, away from the Bible.
Or a prosperity message.
A prosperity message, yeah.
Right.
Those are going to, obviously that's going to draw people in, you know, and the more people they draw in, obviously the more money they make. So the end result to it is going to be more people means more money is the reason that they go with that.
So in that instance, is Jesus their Lord?
No, he's not.
Yeah.
Because it's obviously a monetary thing. It's obviously a physical embrace of what they can get.
Yeah.
Whether it be money, jets, houses, cars, you know.
Yeah, it's the prosperity gospel.
It is.
What can I get?
It is.
And to some extent, they may say Jesus is their savior.
But.
Right? But that's for them. It's not for everybody else.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard one of them say, I got a tattoo that says, I am wrapped up in Jesus. And I thought, really?
Are you?
yeah, that's what I thought. Like, are you really?
Yeah. But, anyway. Well, I think that goes to, like, you know, when you say Jesus is my Savior, it impacts only you.
Right.
But when you say Jesus is my Lord, it impacts you and everyone around you.
True. It does.
Right?
It does.
And so if you're, for lack of a better term, preaching a prosperity gospel,
mm-hmm,
and you live in a $20 million house, is it impacting everyone around you?
Well, yeah, because people around you are the ones that are giving you the money to get that $20 million house because you're preaching a prosperity gospel.
Yeah, yeah.
So let me ask it this way.
Okay.
All right. And we've encountered people like this before.
Yeah.
Both of us have.
Yeah.
And know of, you know, without calling people names or calling people's names, how do you answer someone that is just bullheaded and strong-arming into that belief that we are little gods in and of ourselves?
Well,
without going, you big dummy.
I mean, at the end of the day, you got to go back to Scripture.
You got to,
right?
Well, you got to start Isaiah, there. You can't just go back to it. You got to start there.
Yeah. That's the beginning of the process, right? And Isaiah says, you know, I am the one and only true God. There was none before, and there will be none after.
Right.
I am God.
Right. Well, right? One of the Ten Commandments is what? Have no other gods before me.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so when you think about how you get there from these little gods or whatever, you're looking at cultural society and the worldly norms that have been in place since the late 1800s.
True.
Right. You're not going back to true biblical times.
Right.
Right. And I think we have normalized Jesus as our Savior.
Mm-hmm.
Right. In fact, you know, like we talked about it this morning, a lot of Christians sitting in the pews on Sunday think, well, I went to church.
Right. So that's my checkbox.
Right. That's my checkbox.
Right.
But they're not, it's not their checkbox.
No.
Right.
No.
We're supposed to go and make disciples of all nations.
Mm-hmm.
And if you aren't doing that, it's because, my opinion, let me preface, if you're not doing that, it's because, one, you don't understand the word.
Yes.
Right. And the reason you don't understand the word is because you're not willing to say Jesus is your Lord.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
And you're not willing to do that because you're not in the word.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Romans 10:9 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
You'll be saved.
Not Jesus is my Savior.
Right. There has to be that declaration, though.
Right. He's my Lord.
My Lord.
Which means he's responsible for taking care of me.
Right. And because of him being responsible for taking care of me, I'm going to live for that.
That's right. But just like in the old days, right, going all the way back to when lords first came into place, right?
Yeah.
If I went to my Lord of my area and said, I'm not listening to you. I'm not paying my taxes, my tithe. I'm not going to do this. I'm not listening to anything you have to say. I don't trust you.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to say, get off my land.
Right.
Go somewhere else.
They're going to kick you out.
They're going to kick you out. Right.
Right.
So if you're not going to say Jesus is my Lord, what's going to happen?
Well, you're not going to hear well done, good and faithful servant.
That's right. I mean, I know people are probably going to listen to this and go, well, I don't agree, or you don't have to.
You don't have to.
Right? Revelations 19:16 says, on his robe and on his thigh, he has the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Yep. Absolutely. And there's no disputing that.
Right.
You know, you can talk about LeBron or Michael, you know, and that's a big debate.
It is.
But who's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Christ.
That's right.
Jesus.
That's right.
Christ.
That's right. So why do you think people don't want to say he's my Lord?
I think it's a mental block that they have, that they want to rule their own destiny. They want to rule their own domain. They want to be their own master.
Yeah.
You know, and nobody's going to tell me what to do.
I think for many years of my life, you ain't going to tell me what to do.
Yeah, you ain't the boss of me.
Right? Look, I'm a grown man.
That's right.
I know, and I lived in that, well, I'm a good person.
Well, we talked about that this morning.
We did too, and that's what made me think about it, right?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I was one of those guys that said, look, I'm a good person.
Yeah, I'm a good dude.
I don't know that I was a good dude, to be honest with you. But,
well,
you know, my definition of a good dude is different today than it was, you know, 20 years ago.
Well, but that is a perfect picture of the sanctification that you've gone through in Christ,
knowing
the difference in what you were 20 years ago versus where you want to be tomorrow.
That's right. That's right.
You know, not where you're at today, but where you want to be tomorrow.
Oh, that's crazy.
It's nuts. And what people miss in that is because you hear all the I ams. I am smart. I am beautiful. I am. And you may be. And those are all things that we need to do to pick ourselves up with, to remind ourselves that, wait a minute, even though I am these things, I'm blood bought by Jesus if I'm a baptized believer in Christ.
Yeah. How about I'm covered by the blood?
Exactly.
How about I'm a child of God?
Amen.
How about I'm saved by grace, not by works?
Right.
Right?
Right.
That through faith in Christ.
Through faith in Christ and grace, I am saved.
Right. How about I'm a disciple?
Mm-hmm. How about I know my destiny is going to be with him because I am these things. I am blood.
I am. That's
I
right.
I am. Right. Instead of living your best life now.
Yeah. Live your truth.
Yeah.
What a lie.
That's a huge lie.
It's a huge lie that we tell ourselves or people say, well, that's, you know, my truth is different than your truth.
But the absolute truth says.
Yeah. Like, I want to say to people who have said it, like, really? So if my truth says you owe me $100.
Have you seen the Pierce Morgan video?
No.
Where, okay, so let me frame this, okay? And this is one of those here. This is one of those things that you look and go, hold on a minute. Pierce Morgan is interviewing two women who are in the LGBTQ LMNOP community.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and he says, or they tell him about gender identity and how they make that. You just decide one day. Well,
yeah.
So he goes, so if I want to be a black lesbian, it's okay. And they just kind of both look at each other and go, are you kidding? And he goes, no, you just said whatever I wanted to be, I could be.
Yeah.
You know, and in gender, you know, equality and gender identification, I can decide that I am XYZ.
That's right.
You know, but you're telling me that I can't be a black lesbian? Their minds was a poof.
Well, because they don't know what to say, because it doesn't fit their narrative.
It doesn't.
Right?
It doesn't.
Like I've said for a long time, you know, a lot of these companies are pandering, for lack of a better term, to the liberal community.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And, you know, they've got this group and that group, and they're you know, resource groups for employees that are gay and research groups for employees that are black. And I have nothing wrong with that. But excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to say that it's a necessity for there to be a resource group for gay black women or gay black men, what if I identify as a 40-year-old black woman?
Yeah.
Right? And I've said this for years. You know, unfortunately, the people I knew in HR didn't like me to say that.
Yeah. I wouldn't even attempt that. Man.
Because it wasn't their narrative.
Right.
Right? So it's okay, and they force this tolerance on us mm-hmm. as Christians,
mm-hmm.
but they don't want to be tolerant.
You know what the basic outline for that tolerance policy is? It's shock and awe.
Absolutely.
I mean, when you boil it down, that's the cream that comes to the top.
That's right.
Right? It's shock and awe. Like, you can't handle this, so guess what?
And, yeah, it is.
And
it goes back to not willing to acknowledge that there is a Lord in your life.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right? There's a Lord in your life that you should acknowledge.
Yeah.
And you're unwilling to because maybe it's fear.
Yeah.
Maybe it's lack of control. Maybe it's you know that it's the right thing to do, but you want to have your own truth. You want to live the way you live and not be judged or whatever it may be. I don't frankly know.
Right. It's like that Ricky Bobby movie, Talladega Nights, you know, and the two kids are running around going, anarchy!
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
go,
yeah.
Do you
yeah.
know what that means? No, but it sure is fun, anarchy!
No, but it sure is fun.
Yeah.
And she's like, I will not have heathens in my house.
In my house. Yeah. But that's where some of this stuff comes from. Like, we don't have a clue what this means.
That's right.
But we want to force it on you.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have a clue what it means for Jesus to be my Lord and my Savior. So I'm not going to do it instead of finding out the truth.
Yeah.
Instead of sitting down and reading in Scripture. Yeah. It's not something that, and I'm not saying, folks, that you got to sit down and listen to, you know, to Billy Graham talk about it. I'm not saying that at all, or Ira North, or any of the, any of those great old-time preachers. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is find out for yourself.
Well, I think that's the most important part. Like, most churches I've been to
mm-hmm.
will say, don't take our word for it.
Don't take my word for it. Yeah.
Right? I'm standing up, the pastor will say, I'm standing up here preaching. I've prayed about this, but don't take my word for it.
Yeah, check me on it.
Go Learn for yourself.
Exactly.
And read your Bible.
I say that every time I preach.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every time.
You know, I think also that we forget that the order is important.
Yeah.
Right? And when I say order important, it's important to, you know, you don't start with Jesus being your Savior.
Right.
You got to start with Jesus being your Lord. Because if you start with him being your Lord, Savior comes with it.
Well, I could argue that.
I'm sure you could.
No. And with Saul on the road to Damascus.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because he was saved at that point. He knew Jesus because Jesus, you know, revealed himself to him.
Right.
But it wasn't until he had been blind for 3 days that he accepted Jesus as Savior before the Lordship started.
I think I could see that. But after he was blind for 3 days,
uh-huh.
he come out of being blind and was like, all right, you're my Lord.
Well, yeah.
Right? But I wouldn't say he was like, I know he knew who Jesus was when because he got blinded, but he wasn't claiming Jesus to be his Savior.
No. He wasn't, because he was persecuting those who did.
That's right. No, I know. But even after Jesus met him on the road to Damascus,
uh-huh.
Right? And he blinded him. He's like, Saul, why do you persecute me?
Right.
Right? And he blinded him for 3 days. For that 3 days, he was distraught. He wasn't saying Jesus is my Savior.
No, but after Simon had, great. Now I'm forgot the guy. before that, now I'm bummed now because I know this story very well. But before the guy came to care for him, yeah. And he was blind for three days, but he taught him Jesus.
I agree, but until his eyesight was returned, I don't think he said Jesus is my Savior.
But do you think that he was already claiming Jesus as his Lord?
I think after he got sight, I think he was.
Okay, so...
So I think he said Jesus was my Lord after he got sight. I could be wrong. Right? We're just talking, but I think...
We are.
I think after his eyesight was returned, he's like, Jesus is my Lord. And the Savior comes with it. I don't think he said Jesus was my Savior until after he got his eyesight back, but I think he said Lord first.
Okay, so let me put a scenario to you.
Okay.
Okay.
And I could be wrong. I don't think Scripture says it.
I don't think Scripture says it either. Yeah. And I'll have to go back, and this is one of those instances, folks, where both of us are gonna go back after this podcast is recorded and look at it real quick.
Yeah.
And then come back and go, oh, well, here's what actually, you know.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
Anyway, this is not something that obviously this is ad lib.
A lot of these are.
A lot of them. 99% of the podcasts that we do are ad lib.
One take, right? We don't cut it out.
No, there's
that's
no
why
editing.
Sometimes stuff is screwed up.
Yeah, sometimes you see me pick my nose. The scenario that I want to give you, though, where someone will claim Jesus as their Savior before their Lord.
Okay.
It's like a jailhouse Jesus or a foxhole Jesus.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Jesus, save me.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, oh, Jesus, save me. And then you go back and live like hell the next day.
Yeah, 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 yeah. But I would challenge that they're not declaring Jesus as their Savior. They've asked to be saved, and maybe Jesus does save them. But if they go back to doing whatever, you know, crappy stuff they were doing before and never turned to Jesus again, I think that they would not be claiming Jesus as their Savior.
Okay. All right. So that's a pretty Baptist point of view. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
I mean, I'm not a Baptist, but
I'm just saying.
Right.
So here's my take with this. Okay.
And I'll say, let me just say this. I agree with what you're saying.
Right.
But I have never heard like somebody come from jail
right.
and say, I was in my jail cell on my knees begging mm-hmm. Jesus, begging Christ to save me, to help me, to get me out of the mess I was in.
Right.
And then, then walk out of jail, start doing the same things they did before, and testify to somebody that Christ saved them. I have heard them get on their knees, jailhouse confession, Jesus saved them, and they walk out praising God, and they don't turn back to the way they went.
I've heard that, too. But I have seen both sides of the coin.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, where they have prayed, you know, Jesus save me, you know, if you know, and they're trying to make deals with God, and that cracks me up.
That's right.
You know, if you'll just get me out of this situation, I'll serve you forever.
Yeah, but then they don't.
And they don't.
You know, do they really believe Jesus?
Well, that's the ultimate question.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
But the thing that people miss in that is they think they can roller coaster Jesus or roller coaster their salvation. So that when they're in the low points, in order to get back to the high points, they can just go, oh, Jesus can save me again.
Yeah. I think what I mean when I say that there's an order, right?
Yeah.
When you say Jesus is my Savior, you're not saying he's my Lord. You don't get that when you say he's my Savior. But when you say Jesus is my Lord, Savior comes with it.
I see what you're saying.
Right?
Okay, yeah, and I can subscribe to that. Yeah,
right?
I get that, yeah.
Because when, like, Lord is like everything. Like, you are
everything
in charge of right. my whole life.
Right.
And if you're in charge of my whole life,
mm-hmm.
you're also my Savior.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're my Savior, not my Lord,
yeah.
I'm still going to go do some of the stuff I want. You're not in charge.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah. Right?
You're not
yeah.
in charge.
Right.
So that's
right.
why I say there's an order.
Okay, I understand that now.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying now. Yeah.
Now, okay, you may for some period of time say he's your Savior and not Lord,
mm-hmm.
but you have to acknowledge him as your Lord at some point. And when you do, the Savior part is thrown in.
So let me ask you this. If that happens and you acknowledge Jesus as your Savior, is it not until you acknowledge him as your Lord that you're actually saved?
I don't know the answer to that. If you don't acknowledge him as your Lord, are you following the Great Commission?
No. You're not.
Right. I did some research about this, and the facts, I was like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
Right? But the facts are that about only 50% of the people who make a decision follow Christ actually become disciples. Actually follow the Great Commission.
Okay. Wow. That's big.
That's huge, right?
Yeah, that's massive. Yeah.
I didn't think it would be that high.
I didn't think it would be that high.
I mean, I thought like 10%, maybe 20,
yeah,
right? But 50%.
50%.
Never actually become disciples because they think that's the church's responsibility.
Right.
Right?
That's the pastor's responsibility. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's because we center on following Jesus as our Savior, not following Jesus as our Lord.
As our Lord. I see where you come. I see that point. Yeah, I see that.
Yeah.
What's the next one you got?
Oh man, I think we did one.
We did one. We got to go to the next one. Yeah, because you said you had 2 points.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I got 6.
6.
We're 28 minutes in. We're gonna
oh, hurry.
We're
up.
Gonna do like 2.
All right, so let's do 2.
All right, so it says Jesus is Savior, is often a deeply personal and private thing. A lot of people in the privacy of their home will say, Jesus is my Savior.
But in public?
Jesus is Lord, keeps the personal dynamic, but spreads out the impact to everyone around me and everything.
Read that again.
When you say Jesus is my Savior, it is personal and private.
Okay.
When you say Jesus is my Lord, it keeps the personal part of it,
uh-huh.
but it also spreads out the impact to everything and everyone.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Okay.
It's mission-oriented.
That's the point right
and
there.
And seeks to reflect yeah. Jesus to others.
That's great commission following.
That's right.
You know, yeah.
And it goes back to what I said, right? Only 50%.
Only 50%, right.
Right? It says, because we center the call to follow on Jesus as our Savior and not Jesus as our Lord, that's why only 50%. The first one, Jesus is our Savior, demands nothing from us.
No.
But the second one, Jesus is our Lord, demands everything.
Every bit of it.
Right. There's a difference between calling Jesus a Savior and making him Lord. The title we choose will prioritize deep effects in the way we view and experience the entire gospel.
I love this. Where did you get these?
I just gathered a bunch of different ones from just Google, right? What's the difference between Lord and Savior?
Huh. So is it like from God Answers or something, some of them?
all kinds of different places.
That's awesome.
Right? Some of it's from Logos. Like, I have, like, 200 different commentaries in Logos.
You know? Yeah.
I have a pretty extensive Logos library.
Well.
I mean, you got to do what you got to do.
You got to do what you got to do. Yeah.
So that's the – so what do you think about that, right, that the Savior part is personal and private?
I agree with that. And it's not until that declaration is made in public that people can actually see it.
Yeah.
Or be able to be fruit inspectors of what we do.
Yeah, I remember when I first came to Christ, you know, Linda and I would go to church, and I'd kind of, you know, walk in, head down, didn't want to say hi to nobody, didn't want to
sit in the back row.
It was Life Point, which is an amazing church. Pat Hood is an amazing pastor,
right,
in Smyrna. But you know, it's like two or three services of 3,000 people a service.
Yeah,
I don't know that it's 3,000, but it's like 1,500 at least.
Oh yeah, that's big.
It's huge.
Yeah,
it's huge. Right? Yeah. And so it was easy to, like, I'm in and out. Nobody's gonna know me.
Falling into cracks.
Right. Just praise God, and I'm gonna go home.
Right.
Go back to my normal way of life.
That sure was a good message today.
It was.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you get to the point that, like, nobody knows you, so, like, you start watching it online, and you're like,
yeah, well, nobody missed me.
Nobody missed me. I'm good.
Yeah.
But that's the difference, right? He was my Savior then.
Right. Right.
I didn't tell nobody.
And so let me ask you this: what was the turning point?
I think we've talked about it before. I read the book, a book called oh crap. You're forgetting stuff. A Courageous Call to Manhood.
I remember you telling me about this book.
A Courageous Call to Manhood. And I read that book, and in fact there is a men's study on A Courageous Call to Manhood, and that's probably what we'll do
next.
In our Friday morning men's.
Okay.
But anyway, I read this book, A Courageous Call to Manhood, and it asks this question. It says, "What was the most courageous thing you've ever done?"
Mm.
I couldn't think of one.
Yeah.
You know, the typical, I raised my kids, or I had this, or I had that. But it's very biblical about the question.
Right.
What's the most courageous thing you've ever done?
I rode a bull. No, I'm just kidding.
some people said stuff like that. You know, it tells all these stories. And I was like, and then it goes on to tell you that, you know, what a godly man really is.
That's, yeah.
I went to my wife. I said, I don't even think I'm a man.
Yeah, I remember you telling me that story. Right? I remember that now. Yeah, yeah.
You know, it makes me think about. I mean, you've seen Right Now Media before, right?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Every year, Right Now Media has a conference for pastors, right?
Mm-hmm.
A couple years ago at the conference, Joby Martin was one of the presenters.
Oh really?
Right, and I love Joby. Right.
Right.
He does Act Like Godly Men and all these different men's group stuff, and he's in North Carolina, I think.
Is it North Carolina or South Carolina?
I think it might be South Carolina.
South Carolina.
South Carolina.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, right. But anyway, he gets up and he's like, look, I'm here, and I relate to Joby. He says, I'm here because, you know, I want to make you feel good. With me being here, you'll feel good about yourself, because there's going to be people who come up, like Lou Giglio's coming, and he's going to preach, and you're going to go, you know, I may not even be a Christian.
Yeah. Giglio can bring it.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? And then he said, David Platt's going to come up.
Oh, my.
And he's going to get done speaking. You're going to go, I don't even know if I believe in God. He's like, I'm here so you feel good about yourself.
You feel good about yourself. Joby Martin is good.
He's great. Awesome.
I've done several of his video studies.
Yeah, so have I.
You know, and they're great.
Absolutely.
It was awesome. I think who did the one Wild at Heart? Was that wasn't Joby Martin?
No, I don't think it was.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. But you bring this up, you know, about that turning point.
Yeah.
And where you actually get to a point to where you recognize your need to call Christ, call Jesus your Lord instead of just your Savior.
It's like a light switch.
It is. And if you hear Platt or Giglio or Francis Chan or any of those guys talk about big dogs,
right?
Right, and then look, folks, if you meet these guys face to face, it's like Henry Chow.
Yeah,
yeah, I met him at Saddleback. Sorry,
okay. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Henry Cloud, not Chow, Henry Cloud. You meet these guys, and to talk with them face to face is the same thing that they're from the pulpit.
Yeah, like Kyle Adaman.
Yeah.
Right, Kyle. And you talk to them, they're a normal dude.
Yeah, very normal guy.
They're a normal dude, but they're like, listen, Yeah. This is how it is.
Right. And
I've done several of his studies, Kyle's, and
yeah,
you know, several of J.D. Greer's, and look.
I just did a J.D. Greer one about a month ago.
Oh, yeah, which one? Cool.
Which one was it? It was on YouVersion.
I don't know. If you get a chance to do his Judges one.
Wait, somebody was telling me about maybe Cash is doing Judges right now with J.D. Greer.
Yeah, J.D. does a study on Judges. We did that. I did that several years ago, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, Cash was talking about it. He either just started it or just finished it.
Yeah. So back to the, it's like a light switch.
Right. It's like a light switch.
And you're like, okay, it's time.
And so when you make that declaration and that outward declaration that everybody sees, that's where the Great Commission comes into
play. That's right.
That's right. Where the you know, being able to follow out the James 5:13-16 scripture about laying hands on the sick and anointing with oil and praying.
Yeah.
And you fill in the blank with the fervent prayer of a righteous man, and you go, wow.
Yeah.
I see that in your life.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Because you've made that declaration.
Crazy.
Yeah. So that to kind of wind this down, to kind of land this, that is, for those that were asking, the difference in Savior versus Lord.
Yeah. I think I can try to sum it up in one sentence, right? When you say Jesus is your Lord, it demands everything. It's mm-hmm. a lifetime commitment.
Right.
When you say Jesus is your Savior, it doesn't require anything.
Mm-mm.
It's one time.
Right. That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
That's real good.
All right. Look, we, this has been awesome.
I love it. We say that with every single podcast we've done. And there have been times where you have heard Rick and I maybe start to disagree a little bit, but come to the point that the other one was trying to make and understand that point.
Yeah.
And every single podcast that we have done, every single thing that we have that we've recorded and talked about, has been an enjoyable experience because of seeing the other's point.
Absolutely.
And reflecting on what God has shown us through Scripture.
You know, and here's what I'd say: the one thing I think you'd learn if you really dig into Scripture is the disciples didn't agree with each other either.
Mm-mm.
Right?
Mm-mm. No, they didn't.
And it wouldn't have been right if they just blindly agreed.
Well, I mean, look at the eclecticness of the background of the apostles anyway.
That's right. That's right.
You got guys that are tax collectors and zealots.
That's right. Fishermen. And
the whole nine yards, yeah.
From one end of the spectrum to another.
Yeah, complete.
All right, so hey, it's Rick and Rob with the Nomad Pastor Podcast. Remember that subscribe on whatever platform of choice.
Yep, right? we're on all of them. And if you want to see what our ugly mugs look like, check us out on YouTube.
Check out our YouTube channel, the Nomad Pastor Podcast.
Yep.
Hit that subscribe button. You'll get a notification. Share it with your friends. Right.
Yep.
I think you can't comment because I have it set up for all age groups.
Right.
It's not that we've disabled it, but. But look, this is a podcast for all age groups. We want people of any age that may have questions to be able to listen to it.
And if you want to comment, send us an email at hello@nomadpastor.org. We look for those and look through those together. So if you have a comment that you want to make, send us an email. If you have a request for a podcast that you want to, because we've done some requests before. This is another one today. Send us an email, hello@nomadpastor.org, and we'll get on it. We'll get on it. If you got a question, if you want to, you know, we'll even help you find a church in your local area.
So that's right.
Hit us up.
And remember the most important thing: love God
and love people.